Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move!
LeBron James with no regard for human life. Final seconds. Bryant for the win.
Bang! Iverson against Gill, the crowd on its feet. Allen for the win.
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Sneaker History Podcast. It is your host, Mike, or I guess one of your four hosts, Mike. And you know what? Since I'm running the solo show, you guys know what it is. It is a Coffee Time Kicks episode. And today I got a good buddy of mine, Rick, also known as... I'll never get the name right when I say it. Say it for me.
Everybody gets it right, so it's uninstructed vision. It looks
uninstructed.
Like
I don't know why. I see it together. I just want to say something completely different, but now yeah. I look at it. But uninstructed vision, you guys, I know you've seen some of his great photography. The man knows his way around a camera with some sneakers, man. And Rick, man, welcome to the show, man. I appreciate
Thanks,
you setting some time aside.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And a question I just started. You'll be the third person I've asked now. Since this is Coffee Time Kicks, I started asking people, when you go make a coffee run or a tea run, donut run, whatever it may be, what shoe are you putting on? What's the shoe you're leaving the house with?
So believe it or not, today, I did take a picture of a pair of sneakers that I was wearing, but I wasn't going to wear them. I changed my mind. I'm in a pair of Crocs. I'm in a pair of Benberry Crocs. Oral color.
Dude, so funny enough. You're the second person in a row to tell me the exact same answer. That's the Lady Crocs are like, hey, you know what? I'm in. I'm out. Let's go get this.
I'm in my office, you know. I mean, I have my sneakers, obviously, but when I'm in the office, I put these on. I'm constantly, you know, I'm moving around. So can't give them
credit. Yeah, man. Dude, hey, it can't nothing wrong with that. I was telling a buddy of mine that, you know, my go-to shoe when I'm just jumping at the house is my clog posits. It's like in, out. I don't have to think about it. Still different, cool looking.
Yep, absolutely. There you go.
Yeah, man. Well, shoot, man, I got you here. I love your photography. I love what you're doing. I love the way you present your art. And how did you start, man? When did you put together, you know, love of sneakers, love of photography, and then boom, end product is what we're working with?
So it's a long time coming. It's a culmination of about 13, 14 years. I started off using an iPhone. Instagram had just come into the scene, right? Around that time. Wasn't really known as much, obviously, photography wise or anything. People were just taking pictures of random stuff thrown on an Instagram filter and posting it and, you know, going from there. But that's how it started with me, going from that and then meeting some people throughout the app who shared a similar interest with photography and with sneakers, obviously being the main point there.
Yeah.
At some point, I can't remember how it happened, but I met someone locally who was into sneakers, but was also doing some amateur work with his camera and kind of pointed me in that direction. Was like, look, if you really want this to take off, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to buy. This is how you need to shoot. And it was like this. It was this. I don't even know how to describe it, but it was just subjective as to what needed to happen in order to organically grow at the time. and it did. And it did. So... here we are now.
Yeah. What are you shooting with now? What camera are you using?
So as of right now, I went mirrorless. I'm using a Canon R6.
Okay.
Preferred lenses of choice are – I actually have the box because I just got one delivered not too long ago. It's nice. Sigma Art is the ones that I use. I don't use any zoom lenses. I use prime lenses anywhere between 20 millimeter, 35 millimeter, and an 85 if you're really trying to get like up close.
Like a macro shot.
Yeah. So that's kind of been my go-to. I'm looking to upgrade again, but you know, got some responsibilities. Got responsibilities.
Oh, dude, I know, man. I know. It's one of those things like it's like a bug. Like you start getting the cameras in, like even with like the videography as well. So I use I use the Lumix G7, G8, and mirrorless. I love it. It shoots 4K.
Yeah.
Now I'm like itching. Like, what's the next one? Like, my brother uses a Sony A7, like S3, S2. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. I was like, I wish, but I got kids. You don't got kids. Like, I got kids. I gotta take care of.
Older. Mine are older, but they as they get older, the requirements increase. You know.
I know. Well, that's cool, man. So what got you into sneakers? Like, what, I mean, clearly the middle level photography is there, but when did you first like fall into like in love with sneakers?
Sneakers for me, kind of like 92, 93. I was, I was about 13, 14 years old. At the time, I came from an area in Brooklyn where you basically had to like show up or show out. You know what I mean? Show up and show out, right? You know, you would be ridiculed if you walked up to, walked into class with, you know, no name brand or some sort of Payless sneaker or whatever.
Yeah.
That was what we dealt with. So if you wasn't, if you weren't fresh, you weren't going to amount to much. You could be a,
you just got to walk around like this for the rest of the day. Like, don't look.
So that kind of, that drove it. Obviously that was one thing. And then, you know, we didn't have social media back then. All we had was sports kind of to go by and television. Yeah. So, you know, Mike being at the forefront of everything, right. And the commercials and you could tell his shirt, but he was, that was the guy. That was the one you chased after. And Nike capitalized off of that and started bringing in more, signature athletes. And the Deion Sanders was the guy that I kind of just gravitated towards. And that Diamond Turf that we released not too long ago was the shoe that did it for me. And it just, it snowballed and it never stopped.
Yep. So I still live by that mantra with things I'm bad at. I made a video of like my trying to get better at golf. And it's like, you know, that look good, feel good, play good. I'm like, I still live by that, but just the play good don't happen all the time.
Hey, by the way, those question shoes that they sent you, pretty cool. I like them.
Dude, they're super cool. Like at first I saw them like, wow, what are we doing here? Then I was like, I kept looking. I'm like, this is actually really cool. And in hand, even better.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Now, are you still in New York or are you out, you move out of the state now?
So was born and raised in New York. I was born and raised in Brooklyn. I came to New Jersey in 2004.
Okay.
I've been here ever since. So that's about, you know, about 21 years now. Almost a good, you know, 50% of my lifespan has been in Jersey now. Although I still go back from time to time.
It's not far, right? It's like, it's literally, I would say down the street. I've been in Texas where everything's a gazillion miles away. So at least it's a quick train ride if you want to jump in, right?
Yeah, this is like, if I drive, no traffic, 45 minutes. With traffic, a little over an hour. If I take the train, obviously, you know, there's some time, you know, you got to tack on to that. You can't, you know, you don't know what's going on with those guys. So.
Is there a big, I mean, New York is New York, but being in Jersey, is it still a pretty big sneaker climate or a big culture out there?
Yeah. I mean, I've met some people out here, again, thanks to social media, right? And connecting with some people, rather, you know, they may not be as local, but again, they're still within the state, within reason, within reach. It's not as, and I'm not saying this to downplay Jersey, but it's not New York. New York to me is like the Mecca in a sense, right?
It is.
That's one of the hubs of the sneaker culture, truthfully. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody talks about, you know, some other place. Maryland is one.
Yeah.
You know, California being another, but to me, you know, and I'm biased when I say that, but New York is, you know, New York was where it's at, where it started.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know what? It's crazy. I've never been to New York. So it's funny enough you said that, like, my wife and I are actually going to be taking a trip out there in a little bit less than a month now. So, so I've never been, and we're going to go out there for our anniversary. And it's like, that's one of the things I'm looking forward to, just to really, like, in my downtime where they're like, try to document some of the different things I see, like sneaker wise, try to get to some of the notable spots, those local spots, just to see it, man. Because again, I grew up in Beaumont, Texas, which is, there's no sneaker culture there.
Yeah.
And moved to Houston a little bit more, but Houston still pales in comparison to the places you name. Like, it's just not as, everyone wants to look good, but it's not like we have this shoe or we started this trend outside of you. Again, fashion, yes, as a whole, cars as a whole, but not really a particular shoe thing. And being able to see that up close, I'm really amped to see that, because it's just, I don't get the ability outside of, like, we're talking on through the internet. You know, that's a lot of, like, from social media where we connected to talking now. Today, it's like, I get that interaction, but, man, be able to see this kind of up close in person and just the different things from, like, of course, the Air Forces, everyone in the Jordan, things like that. It's just, it's going to be really cool to really pick up on that in person and really see how, you know, different, you know, areas, what they're like and what they're not like. And it's really cool to see that as a, like, sneaker collector.
Yeah.
What's your go-to?
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. No, but you'll see the differences. Like, if you go to, like, a flight club or a one of the bigger like resale stores, obviously, right? That's a one stop shop kind of situation, or wanting to experience. But the crux of everything that came from New York to me was the mom and pop shops and the small sneaker stores. Those were the ones that you garnered the most history from, and you gained the most knowledge out of, right? There might not be that many of them remaining, but if you can get an opportunity to go, if you go to Brooklyn, I'm thinking now maybe Flatbush, Myrtle Ave, Broadway in Bushwick and things. I'm originally from Greenpoint. We didn't have many sneaker stores. We had to trek outside to get to where we wanted to get to. So we typically wind up in like Queens, or we would, jump on a train and go to the Bronx, Uptown, and things like that. So it was, you made it a point to get to some places. So if you get an opportunity to, if the missus allows it, maybe check some places out, some mom and pop shops.
Oh, dude, she'll give. So it's funny because her sneaker collection is slowly growing now. I've kind of planted that. It's my fault. And so she's like, it's not the prime, mission of our trip.
Right.
But if she sees something she's like, she wouldn't be upset if we made a stop.
Yeah. No, of course not. I would listen.
So, again, you get to see so much. You document a lot through photography, which is just an amazing medium.
Yep.
But what do you see? I mean, social media is like everything coming together. Such a big, ocean of information people trying to consume. How are you able to stay true to what you love and when it comes to your type of photography, but also be able to, because you have a really amazing following. You have a very solid following. How are you able to gain attention of people in such a broad space?
It's funny enough, that following came from years of just Instagram being a certain way. Now it's kind of shifted to needing to be able to adhere to an algorithm, right? And do certain things. And before it was just organic, right? People would use the hashtag and somebody found you and they followed you. Or we would have this thing where we would shout people out on our pages and say, go give this person a shot. Before you knew it, you were getting you'd blow up in terms of follower count. Now it's a little bit different. Now you have to follow a certain regimen in order to get, garner the attention and have to be seen. So it's tough now. I'm at 42,000, I think. At one point I was growing up towards 50. And then there's an option to kind of look at some people that are not following, or they could potentially be bots and things like that. So you clean it up. But, truthfully, I would rather, and I've said this before in a couple stories, I would rather have an organic following than such a large one where you kind of feel like those people get lost in a sense, because are you really interacting with them? Are you really getting to know them? Are you touching on their content or whatever it is that they're looking to create artistically? So it's always been a bit of a challenge when it comes to that. But for me, it's just trying to, and when you say, how do I remain true to myself, is just really blinders on and just focus on what I normally want to do in terms of how I shoot, how I edit, what shoes I'm shooting. That's a big thing for me. I mean, I'm a Nike basketball kid. That's what I grew up on, right?
And
Jordan brand obviously was a part of that to a degree until he broke off and did his own thing. But that's me. That's who I am. That's not to say that another basketball brand could reach out to me and say, hey, do you want to shoot this? Sure, that fits what I do, right?
But
if we're talking about a lifestyle sneaker or something that just doesn't resonate with me, I'm not going to do it. You know what I mean? Have I received emails like that? 100%. I've gotten them, and I've had to respectfully turn them down because it just doesn't fit. The criteria doesn't fit me. It will never fit me.
Mm-hmm.
I tried it, I think maybe once or twice, and I just I could sense that it wasn't me, right? Like I was just doing it to do it, and there was no love behind it. And that's genuinely how I kind of take what I do now, because I'm not getting paid for it. The stuff that you see that's on my feed is really just me picking up my camera, having an itch, wanting to shoot something, post it, and hope people enjoy it. And that's pretty much how it's been for a few years now. And it'll continue to be that way until I get tired of it. And I doubt that's ever going to happen.
Yeah, but that's how it should be, man. You should be able to go in and say, I just genuinely enjoy what I'm doing.
Yep.
And I think the hardest thing is to do what you said, is to respectfully decline an offer, because I think it's... people are looking for attention. I'm not saying this in a bad way, but people are looking for that recognition from a brand to hopefully become a partner with them. They're like, I'll do anything. And you have to be able to say no. It's okay to say no. And I think that's good for people to hear you, someone being as successful as you are in what you do. And hearing that, it's like, oh, it is okay to like say, oh, be true to me.
100%. And I'll say this. I've partnered with Jordan Brand before, right? Some moves that were made, some people had to move to different departments and whatnot. So now I've kind of shifted some of the things that I do with Nike basketball, more so with Jordan Brand. But I stuck to it. I didn't deviate from it, right? Yep. It was all done. Yes, did I use social media as to catapult myself into that position? Sure. But I knew how to leverage it. You know what I mean? And it wasn't it wasn't fake. It was organic. It was added jokes a few times here and there on Twitter with some photos. But, you know, I made a connection with somebody who made it happen. And that here I am now.
Yeah. And that gets me to one thing I always, when I talk to other creators, and a lot of people I think we're just like-minded, it is about the relationship you're building. It's not about the product, because product's a dime a dozen. Anybody can send you anything. Yeah. But the relationship means the world, because, like I said, they left Jordan Brand, they went somewhere else. Having that relationship still be there means, hey, I still have a personal connection even outside of sneakers. And that's the hard thing, like, because people know when you're coming at them to just be, I know I found your name, I know you can get me sneakers. That just, like, I just want something from you. People know the fake interactions a mile away, because they've been in the business for so long and they know what's going to come at them. So having a genuine interaction and being your true self is like, that's worth more than any pair of shoes you're ever going to receive, I feel like.
Guaranteed. And it was, again, that was the way that it was. And it wasn't for me seeking sneakers or wanting pairs or anything like that. It really was just wanting to get what I considered my art shown and connected in a way that I could marry the two. My love for basketball, my love for sneakers, my love for photography, and like just get it all together. And what comes of it, comes of it. What perks come with it, come with it. But at the end of the day, it was that love for what I genuinely did that garnered those things or got those things. And it's just it's a perk. It's a bonus. That's how I looked at it.
Yeah.
You need to look at it that way.
Dude, 100%. It's like one of those things is I joke with people because, like, dude, I'm a big kid. Still, if I can go in the store and try on a shoe, I still do so. And I am the kid when I was a kid, I would put my old shoe in the box and walk out the new one. And if the situation can still happen today, I still do it. So if anyone, you know, blesses me with a pair of whatever, I it's like Christmas to me. Like, I will never, from the first pair to whatever pair is, like, I'm still get the same excitement from someone just thinking of me. And I see it as not, ooh, I got this thing, but you see my work. And this is like, I feel like, okay, just you've seen what I'm doing. I appreciate that you appreciate what I'm doing.
Listen, I've had the opportunity to take photos, right, for some PEs for Jordan Brand and for Nike.
Oh, awesome.
Right. The biggest one to me, the biggest validation was, there were two, was last minute circumstances came up. Travis Kelce was wearing a specific shoe, a specific cleat on a game and during a game, and they rushed it over to me. I'd get it. I ran to a football field, took photos of it. I'm like, oh, this looks great. I sent it to them. Oohs and ahs. They loved it. And then recently there was some work that needed to get done, like last minute. They send me some stuff for it. I'm never going to own these pairs, right? These are just like, these are samples and whatnot. But the fact that they have enough faith in me to do that and to take those photos and to have such a quick turnaround. And then I get a text message from my guy, my connection there. And it's a video of Giannis Antetokounmpo sitting on the couch being shown or getting ready to be shown the shoe. And they're like, are you ready to see this? He's like, yeah, let's do it. And he puts it up on the screen and he starts singing and dancing. He's like, oh, this is great. So to me, that was like no check, no nothing could have equated to the feeling of seeing the athlete that's wearing that shoe looking at my photos going, this is great. I love it. Yes. Like that's what I do this for. I'm not blowing smoke. I'm not doing any of that. I'm telling you the God's honest truth. It's an amazing feeling when you have that validation. So seek that.
Oh, check. My good. Yeah. It's like if anyone, like anytime someone asks me to be on their show or it's like, dude, like, thank you. Like, cause I think we just do it for a chance to show that we can do it. And it's like, and that's such a great feeling because it's like, you again, appreciate my skill enough to trust me with your medium or your platform to be a part of it. And it's just, That's worth more than, again, any product that can be sent out, because now I've proven myself to you. It's like, all right, cool. You believe in what I do. Let's this work. And I joke with people. I'm like, the best thing I could ever get is the opportunity to prove myself to somebody, like someone, hey, I want to tap you for this. And it's like, cool, what we need to do. And yeah. I feel like me and you are in the same wavelength there. It's like, I just want to be able to show you what I can do. And
that's it. That's all I really.
Dude, it's great, man. This is one of the things. It's weird because I feel like a lot of people do understand it. I think there's a small minority of people in our, you know, I just take sneakers because it's such a small niche that not every, like, we kind of are in our own little world of like media, and people who want to just jump in and have that, like, that microwave mentality, like, oh, I'm going to put this one thing out and I'm going to be famous. It's like, no, I mean, maybe get lucky, like 0.1%.
The wrong way to do it, man. It's funny enough, and I don't say this to belittle them or anything else like that. People that refer to themselves as content creators, I get it. That's their that's their niche. I'm not saying that I am one, but I consider what I do as artistic. So I feel like I'm an artist to an extent, right? I'm an artist with my camera. Yep. I'm an artist with my lens. I will always look at it that way. And jokingly, sometimes I'll jump on like podcasts or whatever and I go, hashtag not an influencer. I am not an influencer. It just happens to be, you know what I mean? It just happens to be that brands or people that work for these brands or whatever the case may be happen to value what I do. And I get an opportunity to either get some stuff or shoot some stuff. It's not because I'm on, you know, Instagram Live promoting something, or if I'm on, a reel promoting something, or no, it's the medium that got me there, the art that got me there, 100% that got me there.
Yeah, and I love that thought, because it's literally like, look, this is art to me. It's not just a means to get someone to look at me. Like, cool, I want people to look at it, but. Regardless, no matter what, if Instagram didn't exist, if these platforms didn't exist, you were still going to do that.
I'll find something.
Yeah, you're going to get that art out there to the world. And that's a great way to look at it, because everything here is an art. Like, my end goal, I would love to, of course, work for a sneaker company on the, like, in the media side, the marketing side. Cause that's what I love to do. I love to talk about things. I love to break things down. And the end goal is like, man, I just want to, if I can just own a media company and help produce like new people and help them to grow.
Yes.
Sneakers are not. This is what I love to do. I love being able to get behind the camera, because it's a constant tweaking. It's a game of literally adjustments at all times to learn a new thing that comes out, a new camera or a new editing software. It is fun. It's a self-imposed challenge that comes out with this beautiful work. And I'm always chasing just a beautiful visual. Like, you look, I was telling Aaron Diaz. So Front Page. Yeah. Yeah, we actually just got on last night. I got him on a pod last night, and he was the only guy who did the Crocs, the exact same one. Like, yeah, and forth here. It's like chasing. Like, I love watching like cars. I'm big into like cars and like racing. And so like, if I watch like, let's say a drift race in like a Japanese mountain, they do it in like 4K. I'm chasing that visual, but for sneakers, if I can do that, I'm satisfied. Like, I'm happy.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah, no, it's the high. I don't want to use that word, but it's the high.
It is, right?
You know, having an idea in your mind, going out there, conceptualizing it, putting it out into a camera, getting the photo, taking it home, and then saying, okay, can I tweak it? Can I edit it? Do I really need to edit it? Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then watching it go through the whole process or experiencing the entire process. And at the end, looking at it and going, oh, all right, got it. Okay, cool. Let's rock. That's a great feeling.
1,000,000%. Now, have you ever had a shot that's in your mind, know what it is, but for some reason, it's just taking every ounce of energy to conceptualize it to become real?
Yes. Yeah, all the time. So there's a double-sided answer to this one. There's times where you visualize things and you jot stuff down and you get it together and you do it and it looks great. And you're happy with it and you're satisfied with it. And then on the other end of the spectrum is you follow the same, same regimen doing things. And then you take the photo and you go, oh, this is horrible. This is terrible. Like there is no perfection after you've carefully bulleted out how you're going to do this. And then you're like, okay, this is it. I'm ready. You put it, into work. And then it's just not what you thought it was going to be. Like the lighting was off, or the colors just aren't working, or this particular shoe just doesn't speak to me that much. Or, like there's these little things, but it happens often. You know, recently I upgraded some equipment at home, and I started doing what I called, in my mind, I called it like the versus thing. So I was doing like two shoes, you know, top one this way, one this way. It was like,
I've seen those ones you put out. Yeah, like you did the Nigels that way, the one and a four, right?
Yeah. So I did, yeah. I did Nigels. I did Nigels brick by brick. And then I did his first Jordan 1 that he came out with.
Yeah.
So I put those side by side and then I'm like, okay, looks cool. I like it, but it just is missing something. I'm like, all right, let me see. So I started like thinking, and I'm like, I remember in the 90s, they used to do the 1-800 ads. I'm like, right. So I said, let me put the 1-800 down on the bottom. And I'm like, okay, so I put that there. And I'm like, but there's still something missing. And I'm like, all right, I got it. And I took the Jordan logo and I threw a Jordan logo in there. So I was like, oh, like putting all these little things together. But that didn't just happen. And that had nothing to do with what I was thinking about. That just happened to go through the process of
it's just a progression. Your mind keeps moving. It's like,
moving.
Yeah. Yep.
And then I got there and I'm like, okay. And I did it and I posted it to a story and Nigel hits me back and he's like, this is amazing.
That's awesome.
That was it. And then it hit me up after that. It's all it took was that one time for him to just basically be like, oh, you know, this looks great. That's dope. You know, love it. You know, so that was validation enough for me. And then I continue to do it, but it's because of that upgrade and everything else and that idea that I'm just like, okay, now I'm starting to get somewhere. You know, it's going to take me time to get to where I really want to get to. Like, I'm still figuring things out. There are still people that I ask questions of and I nitpick. I pick their brain and kind of jot things down. But it's a process, but I'm enjoying the process and getting there. And then even though in my mind, I'm like, okay, I got there. I know that I'm still going to want to do more.
Oh, yeah. But that's why I love constant collaboration and not collaboration like people, oh, just hop on my video, hop on. That's not, that, first of all, I don't think that's a true meaning of collaboration.
Nope.
I think it's sharing ideas and being able to talk through things. Like you're saying, like, hey, I can hit up this person, like, hey, I'm trying to do this. What is the best way I can do this? That's true collaboration too. And I think that's been lost on creators of any medium now, especially again in sneakers, because we just see collaboration as, oh, it's these two brands came together to promote something. Mm-hmm. I think that should be changed into partnership.
Yeah.
Collaboration needs to stay as a way to connect, because I think two or more people coming together to figure something out, that is a true collaboration. That's how you constantly doing that and not being a gatekeeper, because I think that happens sometimes. Instead of people wanting to help the next man up, they want to go ahead and, well, it's like, I don't want to share my knowledge. I'm like, but dude, that's sharing knowledge is the best thing, because guess what? They know something you don't know, and then you're going to need something in return at some point. And you're like, I don't like breaking that kind of like connection or burning that bridge immediately. That's so silly to me.
Reach one, teach one. That's exactly what I tell everybody all the time. You know
Thank
what I mean?
You.
It's,
Thank you.
You know, you reach out to somebody, reaches out to you. That to me is not only humbling, but that's validation as well, because it's like, you know what? This person's just starting out, or this person is trying to get to where they feel they want to be, or the level that they feel I'm at, they want to achieve that same thing. By all means, what am I going to say no for? You know what I mean? At the end of the day, that to me is better than just knowing everything, keeping it to myself and, you know, excelling, obviously. But then that's really all it is. Like, no, you want somebody else to do what you do, and help do it better. Because if anything, it's going to drive you to want to do better than that person just did. So
100%. And it is okay to be competitive. I think, again, people.
Yes.
I don't know if, I mean, I'll be 36 this year, and I remember as a kid, like, things were competitive. And not in the sense of my being disrespectful, but you always, like, I always want to be better than the next person at whatever it would be, and I'm going to work harder.
Yeah.
But everyone's in this, like, mindset that I deserve this immediately. Like, no, you got to work toward it.
You have to work
towards it. Find whatever fuels you to that. Like, whether it be, I want to be professional at this, or I just want to have great art.
Correct.
You have to find something that truly you love about this process.
Correct.
To keep going.
A lot of people, I think, get confused between competition and hating. You
exactly.
know what I mean?
They're marrying. Hate. Like, stop.
Yeah, they're marrying the two now at this point. It's like, okay, you know, this person's doing more than I am. Oh, he sucks. He's this. He's that. No. Don't be a hater. You know what I mean? If anything, use that to drive you to want to do more, do better. And then, you know, seek that person out. Ask those questions, you know, gain that knowledge, use that, leverage that, you know, and I say the word use, I don't mean it in a negative way. I mean, like, use that, you know, to get
learn
you to
something,
learn something. Yeah, just use that as an opportunity to make you better. And if that, and if the person that you are asking this information for, or asking for them to kind of enlighten you to those things, if they're standoffish, then they weren't right for you to even have to reach out to begin with.
Exactly.
If they're open to giving you that information and speaking to you about those things, then they're a good-hearted individual, and their heart, mm-hmm. quote unquote, is in the right place.
Yep, I agree, man. I agree. Well, where do you find yourself getting inspiration? Me personally, I'd be in the most random places, and something like some idea dawns on me. I'm like, let me write that down.
Yeah,
it's just not in a position to film, but it's like, man, this is a great idea.
Yeah. As far as inspiration goes, there are a bunch of photographers or sneaker photographers out there that do this type of stuff. Arab Lincoln, everybody knows Tyler Mansour, right? He's actually stepping out in front of the camera a little bit more now recently. He's been on Haas's podcast not too long ago, my first kick pot.
Shout out to
my
Haas.
My first sneaker pot. You know, he's been on that. He's been in some articles recently, I think, with GQ. Jordan Kaiser is another big name. That is actually, I kind of consider Jordan the Obi-Wan to my Anakin. Hopefully I don't go to the dark side, but like,
go full Darth Vader now.
Yeah. But that's the guy that's who I got the lighting from, that I'm changing things up from.
Oh, cool.
That I've been asking some things about, or asking some things on. And then, you know, there's different formats and different ways. And then, you know, Andy Sneak or AD Sneaks. Andy's a big guy. He's big guy out in this thing we got going on. And he's actually down to earth cat. Again, don't let the followers fool you. You know, these people, we're all humans at the end of the day. But, you know, if you come correct and, you know, genuine about things, there's no reason for there to be not. There's no reason for there to not be any type of connection. Right. Or whatnot.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't really shoot anymore. His name is Peter Coyne. He's out from the UK.
Okay.
His Instagram is P-E-T-E-R. And then the last name was C-O-Y-N-E. Peter did a lot of on foot shots back in like the early 2020s, 2020, 2021, 2022.
Okay.
If you could find him. He still posts from time to time. He does some stuff out in the UK. I found him on YouTube because I was searching up sneaker photography, and he happened to come up, and the work that he did was like, wow. And that kind of like, you know, set me off on a different path and what I wanted to do. And it snowballed. And it just kept going. And if I look back at the stuff that I did in 2020, 2021 versus what I do now, it's leaps and bounds better now than it was then. But at that time, I thought it was great. But that was the guy that got me to think in this way. And now here I am now. And I'm more in the realm of like product photography, you know, like, again, Arab Lincoln, Jordan Kaiser, Oscar Castillo, which is a name that not many people know, but they should know. Oscar does a lot of work. I think he does it with Adidas. Not too long. He's been doing some work with Adidas.
Dude, funny you say that. I just connected with Oscar on a couple days ago. Like, I hadn't run into him, but I think AD had posted something about him.
I was like,
oh, have I not seen this guy's work? And like, we connected there, and I was like, dude, I want to talk to this guy.
He's done some amazing, amazing work with Adidas basketball and a few other things too. Shake JMJ, who has his own foundation with Adidas, that was a good friend of Jam Master Jay's. He does from Run DMC. He has a few shoes that he works with Adidas on, and Oscar took some shots of those, and man, like, just
killed it.
From a purely artistic standpoint, like, that shoe could have been horrible looking, but just the way he lit the setup and the shoe and everything, phenomenal work.
That's awesome, man. I gotta get back into shooting photography. Like, that's where I started, was photography.
Yeah.
And then I kind of found this connection with like video. And, and I'm like, but every so often I get the itch. I'm like, I'm about to redo this nonsense behind me soon so I can have space. Maybe just put like a makeshift studio in the garage. But I love, dude, watching you guys' stuff. I'm just like,
Thank you. This is
why I love sneakers. Cause I love product photography. Like, you go to magazine ads, billboards, that stuff still interests me. And I love it. I mean, I have a marketing background, so I went to school for marketing. So that just always intrigued me, of just like, how do you make this look? Like you said, this shoe could have been ugly as all get out, but you made it. You made me have a connection with the way you put that together, that shot. So I've always enjoyed that art, and it's just a science to it as well, just making it just perfect.
It is. I have an advertising background. I wanted to go into advertising, and I actually wanted to be a comic book artist. That was my biggest thing growing up. So that was like, my inspiration is, if you look at a lot of the photos that I take, they're highly saturated photos. You know, the colors pop a lot.
Yeah.
I do tend to embellish some stuff when I shoot on foot shots, but I do that with a purpose. Like, the comic book for me was like, that was the starting point. I stopped drawing, but then, you know, picked up the camera and then found ways to kind of implement that. So that's, you know, that's basically awesome. Where it came from. Yeah. Yeah.
And if you can see, like, next to my kids' toys, there's a box of the comic books. So I'm right there with you, man. Like, I'm a collector of too many things.
Yeah. I got you.
Too many items, and comics are one of them. So, dude, yep. I love that. I didn't know that. That's really cool. Yeah. I think the photos you have, you're pinned, are your Across the Universe Spider-Man ones.
Yeah.
That you had.
That is those three photos are the ones that gained me the most attention.
And I really?
I don't know what it was. Maybe it was because I posted them around the time that the movie was coming out, right? Okay. And I had got them like a week early prior to the Spider-Verse movie coming out. So it coincided pretty well, and they took off. Like, they were like millions of people. I have, like, the views on them is ridiculous. But it was an opportunity for me to say, oh, comic book, this is me, this is what I do, let's get it rocking.
The love just connected. Yeah, it was like passion for both, or for all three things just came together naturally.
Yeah, I'm like, can we do a comic book sneaker like once a year? Like, do we have to wait for like a movie to come out? Or,
dude, you know? I feel you on that. I have that pair. I didn't get the first pair, which was like one of my saddest like sneaker losses. But like, you know what?
Yeah.
That I have that pair, and it's like, dude, I love that shoe. Like, the way, and you have to understand. You have to watch the movie to understand what happened. Yes. You have to watch that one scene.
That one scene. You get it. You get it.
And you're like, that's where it came from.
Yeah.
The sneakerheads
were killing the shoe when it first came out. Like, oh, it's
for no reason.
You don't even understand the purpose of the reason why there's these. They call them Ditko dots, right? They're like Ditko dots, right? And I'm like, that's the reason why. And it was the blending of the universes within the sneaker and in that scene. Yep. And this is why it's this, and this is why it's that. So you have to kind of like explain it. But once people have that aha moment behind it, they're like, oh, it's dope. I love it. Yes. Okay.
I'm glad I got mine before that aha moment happened. Because
I mean,
I was not going to pay what they were asking.
Yeah. I had the first one. Unfortunately, I had to sell that pair, but...
Yeah,
the idea behind the upper with the Ditko dots and everything was pretty cool.
I love it.
The second one, and then Andy, I hate Andy because Andy's got the Prowler edition.
Oh man, the utility pair. It's like that.
So it's so like it's like, come on, you know, can we get that? Are you guys gonna? Because again, now the third one is in production, so it's like, what are we gonna get? Are you guys gonna do a third shoe? And if you do, are you gonna officially launch a Prowler shoe, or are you gonna just do something completely different, or nothing at all? I mean, I'm hoping that they do, but yeah, man. I actually reached out to a couple people that had that shoe for sale, and I'm like, do you have it? You sold it. It's gone. It's been gone. I'm like, man, all right, maybe if they're listening to this, if anyone on that side is listening. I'm a 9.5, please. And I'm
right? It's like, you got 10 floating around, just send it my way. Like, you got two pairs floating, just help your boy out over here.
And I'm Puerto Rican, so the connection with Miles Morales is like,
dude, right there.
It marries well.
Yeah, dude. That's awesome, man.
But yeah, man.
That's great, man. So any projects that, you know, you're working on, you can tell us about, or anything?
I did a few things. Again, the stuff that I do right now, it's the stuff that you're going to see, like official release type stuff, you know, like Nike, they have their own department for that, right? That handles that. But within within the Nike basketball department, you know, they do a lot of presentations and stuff like that. And they need that, you know, they want some work done so that they can add it to their slides and things like that. And, you know, an iPhone isn't just going to do justice, and they probably can't get it into the right hands and get it done quick enough. So I'll get some stuff like that sent to me to do so that they can present it. And I had an opportunity to shoot. Giannis Antetokounmpo has his 7 and his 8. Right now, I think he's still wearing the 6. So I've had an opportunity to shoot the 7, which is upcoming, and the 8th, which is like at some point, maybe next season or in the midseason. I don't even know where it lies. So I did that. I did some work with the Ja 3 that we saw recently that just came out, some photos that came out when he played game 1 in the playoffs. It was like a hyper punch kind of color.
Yeah.
Right. So I've had that, that opportunity. And then Wale, you know, turned around and threw those future GT future posits during. I had a couple of those in my possession, different colorways that I had to shoot for some presentations. You know, for a lot of people, it's an underwhelming shoe. It doesn't do a lot for them, and I get it, right? But for me, the idea that they're starting to head in that direction now, like they know that they need to like put the foot on the gas because Adidas is coming for them with that shoe.
Yeah, I love that shoe. What was it, the Hyperflight?
Yeah, it's like a mesh between a hyperposite, a Flightposite. It's just like a hyper shoe.
Yeah, it's so like, because I always wanted the Hyperflight when I was a kid. I never was able to get that pair.
Yeah.
And now I am like, once that drops, I am getting minimum two pairs. Like,
yeah, so there's,
Nike basketball is it, man.
Yeah, I've had a couple colors to shoot, an all black yum color, which is crazy. We saw that, I think, during the probably during like the EYBL, which is the Elite Youth Basketball League that Nike does. We saw that, and we did see a 3M reflective GT Future or GT Posite. And then there are some gold colorways that are weird and iridescent. And obviously we saw what Wale was wearing. I didn't get my hands on those, but it's always like a lot, not always, but it's like, hey, are you busy? You know, you got time. Can you do this? Can you do that? And I'm like, just send the box. Just
like, stop asking if I got time. You know I got time. Come on, let's
just send the box. So, you know, he knows who he is. Yeah. Once he gets the thumbs up, he knows. It's already next day aired in front of my building. My son is usually at the door grabbing it, and he's good.
It's one of those things we're talking about, and being able to appreciate the shoe without having to own it. Like, that's awesome. Like, you're able to look at it, just touch, like, dude, I got this massive appreciation. Well, but I don't have to own everything. And that shows like, hey, they're not giving me the shoe, but I still love it because I get to actually touch it, feel it, and do something with it.
Oh, 100%. I had before, so the All-Star game that just passed this past season, Nike went all black, right? They did this this all black aesthetic with everything. They wanted to take it back to like the 90s and stuff. I had the samples for that they needed shot. So I had like different iterations of like Kevin Durant's shoe, Devin Booker's, the job with the Sporsky crystals all over. I think I had like four different iterations of that. And that wasn't the finalized. That wasn't the final one. But like the idea of being able to see all that is like, it's mind blowing, you know?
Yeah.
Being able to own that and own that for a little bit, you know? And sometimes they're like, listen, I forgot I sent those to you. You do whatever you want to do with these. I didn't see it. And it manifests into other things and other connections that I've made throughout the course of this whole thing. And that's blossomed into some other relationships, which have been pretty cool, to be quite honest. I've seen things also that like we see them on the blogs now and it's like, oh, first look. No, I've seen. I'm just no one for you to even want to like question, you know, like I've been there, seen that. And I'm not, you know, trying to put myself out there.
I can imagine you knowing these things and then like look at the look, you're like, nah, that's fake.
Nah, man. you understand what the cycle is like over with these brands. Like stuff is like two to three years out from concept. So like from sample to actual retail is like a year, almost 2 years. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at stuff that you're not going to see until like 2026, you know? So it's like, damn. All right. This is where we're headed. Cool. Shut up. You know, I didn't sign an NDA or anything, but, you know, I grew up in the streets, you know, stay quiet.
Yeah. It's like, hey, you look, I ain't gonna say nothing. Just keep on. Let me get them first looks though.
That's it. Just send it my way. I'll send you some photos. You know, they'll be edited within 15, 20 minutes. And what am I doing with the pairs? Am I sending them back or do I keep them? Okay, great. Thanks.
It's like, I mean, look, come on, guys. You're not going to miss this pair.
Nah, not at all. You didn't even put these in the box, right? Nope. Good.
Dude, that's so cool, man. Just like I said, just being able to be a part of the process is just awesome. Putting your stamp on it, putting like whenever you see these things coming, you're like, hey, I shot that first. So it's really cool to be able to say that, you know?
Listen, Nick DePaula.
Yeah,
who's on X? His first looks and everything else like that. It's amazing when I see like his stuff come out on Twitter and it's like my photos there. Sometimes he credits me, which is cool. A couple times he hasn't, which a couple of my guys at the brand are like, oh, but I told him, and I'm like, it's okay.
It's all right, man.
It's all right. It's gonna happen. You know, the one thing that I learned, another photographer, he doesn't do sneakers. Well, once in a while, Ricky Shubio. I don't know if anybody knows.
Okay, I know the name. Okay?
Ricky said something to me, and I'm paraphrasing, but he was just like, you know, the work speaks for itself. You know what I mean? Sometimes you don't need that tag. People know it's you. You know what I mean? They're gonna know it's your work. Oftentimes, recently though, on Twitter, I've had people tag me on photos from certain blogs that throw photos up, and they're like, "You need to tag Rick on this because that he did that." And I'm like, "I didn't do that." I was like, "I I started something like that, but that wasn't me. Like that was So it's to that point already where people recognize the stuff that I do. And if they're even comparing it to them or they're thinking that's me, I think I've succeeded.
Yeah. People like want to see you succeed and want to like, want you to have recognition, which is awesome. Like, hey man, get this man his flowers because he's working out here.
Yeah.
That's so cool, man. That's so cool. Well, shoot, man, I appreciate you coming on today. This is just a good conversation. I love just being able to pick another artist's mind and just really see your inspiration, where your love of the art comes from. So, man, I really appreciate you coming on, Rick. And for everyone out there, let them know how to find you, man.
So you could find me on Instagram at Uninstructed Vision. It's not people have kind of butchered my name a few times, but it's Uninstructed Vision. If you go on Twitter or X, as it's known now.
Yeah.
I am Ric Flair 79, and my name is Ric Flair because I'm a big wrestling fan also. That's on there. So RICFLAIR 79. I often will post things there first before it goes on to Instagram, and my tagline usually is Twitter seen it first. So, you know, if you're looking for photos that, you know, you think that you, or rather, if you want to see stuff that you haven't seen on Instagram, go there, find that. Those are the two main media points for me. I am on TikTok. I rarely post on there. I'm not a big video guy. Again, hashtag not an influencer. I don't do any of that stuff. You know, occasionally I'll post a video of like a shoe or maybe I'll post a photo, but that's about the extent of it. And it's the same thing. Uninstructed vision there too.
Awesome, man. Well, man, again, I appreciate you for coming on. Keep on doing your thing because I love when you post pictures, man. I'll sit there just looking at it for forever, just like going through them. And it's like, I love it, man.
I appreciate you having me on the show, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And if you guys, again, make sure you follow Rick. Make sure you follow Sneaker History Podcast as well. Like, subscribe, all that fun stuff to help these channels grow. Until next time, guys. See ya.
All right.
Hey, y'all. Nick here. One more thing before you take off. Do us a solid and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Check the links in the description to help us keep the show going. And as always, we appreciate you listening. And don't forget to tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a compliment will take you, and we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Peace.